Have you or someone you know left the behavioral health field? Coming back has its benefits for you and Ohioans in need. We would love to have you back working at a community behavioral health center, and you could earn up to a $3,000 bonus. That's right, a $3,000 bonus. Visit mha.ohio.gov/welcomeback and restart your journey today. That's mha.ohio.gov/welcomeback.
How do you feel when you switch to Geico and save on your car insurance? It's like going to work on one Thursday morning and thinking to yourself, just one more day until Friday. But then somebody in the elevator says, Happy Friday! Then you check your phone quickly and discover today's actually Friday. So yes, Happy Friday, random stranger in the elevator. Happy Friday indeed. Yep, switching and saving with Geico feels just like that. Get more with Geico.
It is week 14 of the Big 12 football season, and we are getting you set here at Heartland College Sports. I'm Pete Mundo. Welcome into the show. We appreciate you, as always, being here and being a part of it. So we have got a couple of games on Friday, and then, of course, we've got six games on Saturday. And I've got picks for you at the end of the show. As always, I will look at every single game, but I'm only going to give you three picks against the spread that I've been eyeballing and I've been liking all week long. So let's get into it as we get you set for what is going to be a crazy week of Big 12 football, because as you know, we have still nine teams in contention for a Big 12 championship. What other league can possibly say such a thing? The answer is none. But technically, there are nine teams. Now, we know about the four. And the four, frankly, are the four that are getting the most attention and should get the most attention. All right? So we're going to get right to it. Okay. Just real quick in the chat. I love you guys. You know I do. But Daniel, I cannot talk about West Virginia basketball upsetting Gonzaga on this show. I love you, buddy. With all my heart, we both love the Big 12. But I can't do that with week 14 of the college football season here. We will get into a lot of basketball. I promise you. That's why I want you to subscribe to the show, whether it's on YouTube, Spotify, the podcast, Apple, whatever. We will do basketball, I promise you. But we are still in full-blown football mode. But yes, congratulations to the Mountaineers. That's a great win. It's been a tough run for the program here lately. So well done, West Virginia. But that's where the West Virginia upsetting Gonzaga story has to end. I apologize for that, brother. I do hope you understand. So we've got the four teams at the top, of course, in the Big 12 title race. We've got Arizona State, BYU, Iowa State, and Colorado. The two teams with the best odds to get to the Big 12 championship game, Iowa State, Arizona State. Most likely, Arizona State, the one seed, Iowa State, the two seed, BYU and Colorado need more help. If you've watched the show this week, you know all this by now, but I'm happy to just reiterate it. And that's the point out that the odds are Arizona State, Iowa State get in if everybody wins. BYU needs some help. And then, of course, Colorado needs the most help. And then the other five teams in the mix, Baylor, Texas Tech, Kansas State, West Virginia and TCU need a tremendous amount of help. Okay? So that's the overview of where this league is at as we get set for week 14. So with that being said, let's dive into it here and start talking about these games. Oklahoma State and Colorado. Is Oklahoma State going to go winless in league play for the first time in 30 years? I believe the answer is yes. And that was Pat Jones's last season in Stillwater, 1994. Do I think this is Mike Gundy's last season in Stillwater? I don't. We heard what he said earlier in the week. He said, the old lady won't let me retire. But here's the thing. When you go 0-9, which is what's going to happen, I know you're Mike Gundy, but if you're Dr. Schrum, the president there, you deserve to say, okay, Mike, fine. You helped build this place. We love you to death. But what changes are you making? 0-9 is not 4-5. 0-9 is not 3-6. 0-9 is 0-9. It's embarrassing. So it is going to be fair to ask those questions of Mike Gundy after this season, what he's doing. You don't get immunity. Okay, you still got to win. And if you're not going to win, fine. 6-6, 3-9 potentially, no way. Oklahoma State does not do anything well. That's the problem for the Cowboys. There's nothing that they do well. And Colorado has not been great at running the ball. That is the biggest weakness for Oklahoma State this season. That's their run defense. So maybe you say Oklahoma State can hang in this game. It's also a very early game, 10 a.m. local time in Boulder on a Black Friday. But there's no reason to like Oklahoma State in this game. Fine, they played Texas Tech tough, but that's about it. Now, I would take Oklahoma State to cover the 16. It's not one of my picks. It's not one of my three official picks. But I would lean Oklahoma State plus the 16 here. Because I do think that their biggest weaknesses do not benefit Colorado. They don't. And what I think teams learned, at least if they're smart from the KU game plan, is don't let Colorado's pass rush get to you and then try to take advantage of some weakness in the linebacking core and the secondary. Get the ball out quickly. And also, you saw Devin Neal rush the ball very effectively. Maybe Ollie Gordon, who did show up last week, can have himself a very good week. Could be his last game with Oklahoma State. But I would lean Oklahoma State to cover the 16-point spread in this game. But Colorado's got too much on the line. They're home. It's the first game of the weekend in the Big 12. They will be just fine, and they will win the game. Utah-UCF. Okay, I thought this game was going to be for potentially a spot in the Big 12 championship. I said that to you back in August. I will own bad predictions. And that was a bad prediction. These are two teams that are not going to bowl games. They're both 4-7. The game is relatively meaningless. There are questions around whether or not both coaches are going to be around next year. Whittingham by retirement. Malzahn is basically probably saying, you can fire me, but I ain't walking away from $12 million. That's his buyout. I can't blame him. For the game itself, it's not really all that interesting. If you want to get caught up in whether or not, you know, each team has its quarterback of the future, that's fair, and that's where this game might have a little bit of juice, right? You look at the game and you say, whether it's Isaac Wilson or whether it's, you know, Dylan Risk from UCF, maybe those guys have a big performance and that helps catapult them into the top spot potentially if they want to be the starting quarterback next year. But this is unfortunately one of the worst games of the year. And it was put on a Black Friday back in August, July, for a reason. We all thought this was going to have a game with a lot of meaning to it, and it just doesn't. And it's unfortunate for the Big 12. It's most unfortunate for Fox. It's a primetime Black Friday game on Fox at 7 o'clock Central, and it literally could not mean less if you tried. Not even like bowl contention. Nothing in this game matters. But I will take UCF at home by a touchdown against Utah. But, man, it is a dud of a game on Friday. It is. Let's go to Saturday. Maybe the sneakiest game in college football that doesn't have a lot of meaning. But if you're a diehard Big 12 fan, this is the kind of game that gets you juiced. Kansas at Baylor. Two of the hottest teams, arguably the two hottest teams of the Big 12. Baylor's won 5 in a row. Kansas is on tear after their horrible start to the season. So this game is fascinating to me. I do have a pick in this game I'll give you later on in the show. But this game is fascinating because if you were to look at how everybody's playing, you would think that these are two of the best teams in the league. And they are right now. The record just doesn't indicate that because of how their respective seasons started. But Baylor continues to play much better. Dave Aranda's, of course, saved his job during this 5-game winning streak. And KU is looking like the team we thought they could be. I saw a great stat. If KU didn't play the last 2 minutes of games and the score just ended, whatever it was, before that two-minute timeout, as they call it. It's not a two-minute warning. You can't call it that. Two-minute timeout. They'd be 9-2. 9-2. So this puts two of the hottest teams against each other. And I love the game because both these fan bases will be into it. KU is trying to become bowl eligible, which would be huge for Lance Leipold this year. And Baylor, of course, is trying to finish up 8-4, which would be a heck of a turnaround this season. So there is a part of me that, and this is how I felt last week with KU and Colorado, where KU had kind of burnt itself out a little bit with all these big games. Now they go on the road. They get that emotional win over Kansas or over Colorado at Arrowhead Stadium last week. I lean Baylor in this game because of that. And I also think that Bryson Washington can really control the clock and tear up this Kansas defense. Now, KU's offense has been very good. But when you look at things like rushing yards per carry, KU and Baylor are both at the same number in conference play at 5.1. And then defensively, Baylor is a little bit better than Kansas is in that category. So Baylor's got the better run defense. Slow down Devin Neal and that offense as much as you can. You're at home. KU's off three big emotional wins in a row, something that's never been done in college football history, beating three ranked teams as a team that's under 500. Pretty amazing stuff. Going to be a great game. Eileen Baylor there. I'll give you an official pick coming up later in the show.
Have you or someone you know left the behavioral health field? Coming back has its benefits for you and Ohioans in need. We would love to have you back working at a community behavioral health center, and you could earn up to a $3,000 bonus. That's right, a $3,000 bonus. Visit mha.ohio.gov/welcomeback and restart your journey today. That's mha.ohio.gov/welcomeback.
How do you feel when you switch to Geico and save on your car insurance? It's like going to work on one Thursday morning and thinking to yourself, just one more day until Friday. But then somebody in the elevator says, Happy Friday! Then you check your phone quickly and discover today's actually Friday. So yes, Happy Friday, random stranger in the elevator. Happy Friday indeed. Yep, switching and saving with Geico feels just like that. Get more with Geico.
West Virginia, Texas Tech. So I'm seeing some comments on this already from early in the show. Pete, Texas Tech wins 45-21, Neil Brown's final game at West Virginia. You guys really think he's going to go? I'm genuinely curious. I'm not convinced Neil Brown's going anywhere. It feels like West Virginia fans are like hoping it's going to happen, but I have a hard time seeing that happening. Just based on the numbers and the fact that he's still hanging around. But this game, to me, does lean heavily towards Texas Tech. I don't want to take anything away from West Virginia. And, of course, they have had a couple of good wins here the last couple of weeks. I will give them that much. Of course, took care of UCF last week pretty convincingly at home. You want to call it an upset at Cincinnati a couple of weeks prior? Fine, you can do that. I don't know if it necessarily was, but to me, Texas Tech comes in with a team that's first off, Taj Brooks, I believe, will be able to take advantage of a West Virginia run defense that has been okay, but nothing super special. And then I look at whether or not Texas Tech is going to be able to zip it around the field passing the ball. They're averaging 270 yards a game in conference play through the air. And you have a West Virginia team that's in the bottom fourth of the Big 12 conference in pass defense. And in fact, their defensive efficiency is dead last. So that's where Texas Tech is going to make its mark, in the passing game on Saturday. And that's why I do believe they will win. They will cover. It is not an official pick. I'm giving you three picks at the end of the show. But I am going to roll with Texas Tech to beat West Virginia on Saturday. Arizona State at Arizona. Of course, a big rivalry game means a ton for the Arizona State Sun Devils. Big 12 championship appearances on the line. And I know some people are going to say this is a rivalry. And I admit I am new to this rivalry. Very new to the rivalry. There are two new teams in the Big 12. That being said, I don't see how this game is close. Arizona is awful. Unless Arizona State is too tight, I don't see how it's possible. for Arizona to hang in this game with everything that's on the line for Arizona State. It's not even about like what Arizona State's going to do to exploit Arizona. Arizona's really bad. Their offensive line is terrible. They've got two star players, and frankly, that's about it. Arizona State could have a field day in this game. So it's not about like analyzing each side of the ball. Arizona State's the much better team. But you just have to basically believe that Arizona's going to be playing up because of what this game means to their in-state rival. And I have no reason to justify that. Like, I can't give you a reason as to why I think that's going to happen, so I'm not going to. Which is why I believe Arizona State takes care of business pretty easily in this game against Arizona. I mean, Arizona just, there's I don't know what to tell you. There's not much going on there. You've watched the teams all season long. There's not much going on there, right? At all, whatsoever. All right, meantime, we've got TCU at Cincinnati. So this game is ESPN Plus. You know what? Let me save that game because I'm going to pick that game. I'll go to K-State, Iowa State. Fascinating Farmageddon matchup. It's become one of the all-time great rivalries. Hey, Big 12, can you freaking protect this thing for crying out loud? My goodness. How is Farmageddon not a protected rivalry? It's so stupid on so many levels. But anyway, K-State at Iowa State. So Iowa State's favored, and I get it. They're home. They're like a 2.5, 3-point favorite. So basically, you're talking about a coin flip. Usually, the home team gets 3 points. Here's what concerns me for Iowa State, and it is the run defense for them going up against DJ Giddens, Avery Johnson using his legs. That's what scares the daylights out of me. Iowa State is second to last in the Big 12 in rushing yards allowed per game. Kansas State is basically going to make them stop Avery Johnson, DJ Giddens, and everybody else who can carry a football on that team. Iowa State usually has a great run defense. They've been obviously banged up at linebacker. They don't this season. They're much better against the pass. But I think what you're going to see is a K-State offense that is run heavy and says, stop us, and maybe we'll throw the ball. There's a lot in this game that I believe benefits Kansas State. They're playing with house money. They lost the game last year. They come into this thing with absolutely nothing to lose. The only thing I'm concerned about, of course, is a freshman quarterback going to Ames in a night game with a lot on the line for Iowa State, where that fan base is going to be absolutely bonkers and good for you guys up in Ames. But I would lean, slight lean on K-State in this game is what I would do, just because I believe that the biggest weakness of Iowa State is perfectly able to get exploited by Kansas State. Meantime, what bothers me most for Kansas State is what they do in the pass defense. And while Rocco Becht is going to be able, I believe, to get it around to Knoll and Higgins and utilize those guys effectively, K-State's going to be able to keep up. And if K-State controls the clock on the ground, they can pull off this upset in Ames, no doubt about it. So I would pick K-State by a couple of points there. Now I'll give you my three picks for the Big 12 this week against the spread, the three official picks in the Big 12. So I'm going to go back to a game real quick here because I already talked about it, and you probably know how I feel about it after hearing how I talked about it. But my bad bet this week is KU minus 1.5 at Baylor. I'm riding Baylor plus 1.5. That's the side I'm on. Home team playing the best football in the Big 12. KU's off these three highly emotional wins, doing something that's never been done in the history of college football. I think Baylor can control the game. Bryson Washington's the best player in the Big 12. Not enough people are talking about. They will end this year with Dave Aranda on a very high note. KU will have had an incredible second half of the season. They'll come up just short. Give me Baylor as the home underdog to cover the 1.5-point spread. All right. Now, the other two games I've got for you here. I will give you my underdog of the week. My underdog of the week is Houston plus 13 at BYU. BYU hasn't covered a spread since late October. They go into this game. It's the last game of the day on Saturday. And either way, that's a tough spot for BYU. They'll know by the time they kick off whether or not their game matters. Most likely, Iowa State, K-State might still be finishing up, but they'll know at some point during their game whether or not their game matters. Like if they win, they get into a Big 12 championship game. If the things break a different way, their game may not matter. They might not have a chance of getting to a Big 12 championship game. So either way, they're either playing potentially very tight with everything on the line, or suddenly all the wind has been taken out of their sails and they're just like, why bother? This totally favors Houston. A Houston team that I admit offensively, I do not like. They are going to struggle. I don't think the quarterback for next year is on the roster. But the defense has been stout. And BYU's offense, you saw it open up a little bit in the second half last week. It has not been consistent. It has not been, frankly, all that good. And Houston's defense can show up. I mean, look what they've done. They've kept Baylor in check this season, or they kept Baylor in check last week, right? They held K-State to under 20 points. I mean, they have done a pretty darn good job on that side of the ball. They're giving up 24.4 points per game in 8 conference games. BYU is first at 22.6. This will be a low-scoring game, and Houston can keep it to within a couple of touchdowns. I mean, if they score 10 points, I see them losing like 20-10 like they did last week against Baylor. I could see a very similar outcome. Just get them the 10 points, and I like their odds of covering that 13-point spread because of what that defense has done and just not having a lot of faith in BYU's offense right now and the inconsistencies that have been there for BYU's offense. So my underdog is Houston plus 13, and the game doesn't matter, then BYU is not going to be feeling that one at all. So that right there, just the way the game could play out and the meaning of the game, either way, I believe benefits Houston. They will go in there with nothing to lose. Willie Fritz will have his guys fired up like it's the Super Bowl, and they'll keep it closer than 13 points. That's my underdog of the week. And then I will give you my lock of the week. My lock of the week is TCU minus 3 at Cincinnati. Now, this game is getting no attention. It's on ESPN Plus, and whatever, that's fine. Doesn't matter to me. I'm just looking to make some money here, okay, with these picks. Cincinnati has finally started playing good teams in this league, and they're not playing well. They lost to West Virginia, didn't cover. Iowa State didn't cover. Kansas State didn't cover. Got blown out by 26. Cincinnati is suddenly playing good teams, and they're getting just steamrolled. Well, TCU may not be a top-tier team in the Big 12, but it's a very good team. They can sling the ball around. They are one of the most efficient passing attacks in the Big 12. And Cincinnati has some issues on that back end in that secondary. TCU is right now second in the Big 12 in offensive passing efficiency. They are number one in passing yards per game. Cincinnati is near the bottom of the Big 12 in that category defensively. So right out of the gates, I know Cincinnati's got good home field advantage, but I'm telling you right now that TCU deserves to be more than a 3-point favorite in this game. 5 o'clock kickoff, Saturday afternoon, ESPN Plus. Tickets are $6 to get into Nippert Stadium right now. I don't know how great that home field's going to be. TCU is trying to get to the 8-win mark. Yes, Cincinnati needs to win to get to bowl eligibility. That's a big deal for Scott Satterfield in year two. I just don't think they can get it done. I don't. I don't think they're all that good. I think they're better than last year, but I don't think they're all that good. And you're starting to see that play out as their competition has gotten better the last couple of weeks. So my lock of the week is TCU minus 3 against Cincinnati. My underdog is Houston plus 13 against BYU, and my bad bet is KU minus 1.5 at Baylor. That means I'm on Baylor plus the 1.5. All right. Thank you guys so much for being here as a part of the show. I'm Pete Mundo. We are Heartland College Sports. If you have not done it yet, please drop a 5-star rating and review on the podcast. Please, please, please. We got over 800 of those. I want to get to 900 here before long. And if you're on YouTube, subscribe. Hit that thumbs up right now in the video. It helps us tremendously. Thank you guys so much for being here, for being a part of the show. And we will talk to you next week. Same time, same place, as always. We'll talk to you actually on, might do a Friday night show, depending on what happens with Colorado, Oklahoma State, and UCF, Utah. But definitely back for our usual Sunday reaction show to week 14 in the Big 12. And then it's Big 12 championship week, so you want to be here. Thank you guys, as always. Hit that subscribe button. I am grateful for you this Thanksgiving, because this show has blown up because of you. So in return, could you do just that little, hey, thanks, Pete, for putting on the show? And on Apple, drop the 5-star, leave the review. I'll share those on Instagram, by the way. Follow me at Heartland College Sports on Instagram. I sometimes share those over there. And same thing right here on YouTube. I love interacting with you guys here. And I hope you have a great and really special Thanksgiving with friends and family, because as tough as life is, we all have a lot to be thankful for each and every year. Happy Thanksgiving. Enjoy the games. We're back with you definitely on Sunday for a Week 14 Big 12 reaction show. I'm Pete Mundo, Heartland College Sports. We'll talk to you guys soon.
Movement has the biggest deals of the holiday season and the sleekest watches around. Whether you're gifting for family, friends, or yourself, shop 30 to 60% off Movement's variety of designs, colorways, and functionalities. From the thinnest automatic dress watch under $500 to waterproof guarantee adventure-ready sport watches to rare ceramics. Be the good gifter this year. Shop 30 to 60% off now at Movement.com and enjoy fast and free shipping. That's MVMT.com.
Have you or someone you know left the behavioral health field? Coming back has its benefits for you and Ohioans in need. We would love to have you back working at a community behavioral health center, and you could earn up to a $3,000 bonus. That's right, a $3,000 bonus. Visit mha.ohio.gov/welcomeback and restart your journey today. That's mha.ohio.gov/welcomeback.